The BMC Amy Z Talk and Caffeware Modern Mainframe Podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion, soundcloud.com/modern mainframe. Caffeware is now BMC Caffeware, providing a complete app dev toolkit which enables you to make the mainframe as adaptive as any other platform and start your journey to becoming an autonomous digital enterprise with a mainframe-inclusive DevOps toolchain. Hey everyone, welcome to the Modern Mainframe. Our guest today is East Carolina adjunct professor, Dr. Cameron Say. Dr. Say is a 2020 IBM Z champion and a great advocate for the mainframe. So thanks for joining us today, Dr. Say. How are you?
My pleasure. Hope you're well, Matt. Pleasure to be with you again.
So can you give us a little background on your experience in IT and in teaching and tell us about your current position?
Absolutely. So I was in IT for 21 years in a variety of roles. I did everything from programming to DBA to network administrator to network ops guy to you name it. I did it in IT, except for wide area stuff. I didn't do a lot of wide area networking, but I did a lot of local area networking and moved up the ranks. You know, I loved IT, got in IT kind of a happenstance. It just happened to be working in an office where some people have bought some equipment. They couldn't really figure out how to use it. And I was the kind of guy that always liked to figure out how stuff works. So this was back in the 80s. So, I figured it out and that it took off from there. But in the course of my career, as I moved the ranks and started getting into more senior positions, I was a little disturbed that I didn't see a lot of African-American people and a lot of women in the roles and the meetings I was in. It was almost exclusively white males, right? And they were sharp guys, but they weren't geniuses. I'm like, I'm looking around. You guys are all making fabulous money. And there's nothing, you know, intellectually exotic about you guys. I mean, you just learn how to do some things. And I started wondering why there weren't more women, more African-Americans in these roles, because they were very attractive roles. And went to graduate school in search of that answer in a PhD program in education. And came to the conclusion that it came down to two things, exposure and opportunity. Other people would say access, but I lump access with opportunity, exposure right. And opportunity. Because the motivation was there. The ability was there. It was not level of an issue of ability. It's just an issue of opportunity and access, exposure. And so I took a job teaching at an HBCU, historically black college, North Carolina Central University, in Durham, North Carolina, and that started my teaching career. And so I taught IT. I've taught IT for the last 15 or 16 years, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And got in the mainframe, again, by happenstance. The person who was running the IBM Academic Initiative for mainframe, System Z, Don Resnick, just happened to come by my school. Somebody suggested, he was on his way to NC State. That was going to be his first stop, right? First stop, because right. NC State place more people at IBM than any other campus in the world. So he's going to stop there first, of course. But it was recommended. He didn't even know that HBCUs existed, much less he didn't even know where Durham, North Carolina was, right? He just happened to be staying in a hotel near the airport. And the guy said, well, a friend of mine at IBM said, well, look, your this school, North Carolina Central University, has a guy there by the name of Cameron Say that may be interested in your presentation. So we were actually the first stop for the academic initiative. I keep reminding IBM of that. And I've been teaching mainframe ever since. NC State has yet to teach a mainframe course. So this is like 16 years later. So, you know, that speaks volumes. IBM has not been able to penetrate the larger schools with mainframe for a variety of reasons that you know, will come out over time. I'm writing a series of blog posts that are going to explain this. It's just because the bigger schools aren't interested. They're just not interested in it. They don't need to do it. So, yeah. So I've been teaching I've taught mainframe at five universities. Four of them were HBCUs and all very successfully. And I define success by student placement and roles. So I'm very proud to say that as far as I know, and I will accept any data to the contrary, I'm the individual that's been responsible for more African-Americans in mainframe today than anybody else on the planet. And I say that with a great deal of pride, but also with a great deal of disappointment in that other people aren't understanding the opportunities that this provides for all students. Any student that learns this has an opportunity, but the HBCUs could particularly avail themselves of this advantage. And I'm a little disappointed that they have not seen that.
So in the course of your career as a professor, how have the discussion and reputation of COBOL and the mainframe changed on campus? Or have they?
It hasn't. It really hasn't. And I have to be very appreciative of Dean Harry Plone at East Carolina University, which is a large school. They have 30,000 students. And they've been very receptive and very supportive of it. But in general, it's not changed that much. And as a matter of fact, we're writing a textbook now, a mainframe textbook, myself and three other colleagues. And we hope to get some exposure, at least at the community college level. That's our hope. Because mainframe belongs in the college curriculum. Now, does it need the same amount of exposure as something like cloud computing or Java? Probably not. But it needs to be there somewhere because it's a very important technology. It remains very important. COBOL remains a very important language.
To that, I've interviewed several people for a podcast series where I ask five questions of a mainframe professional. And one question I ask in each episode is, what do you see as the most important issue in mainframe development today? And several of them, of the answers, have brought up the infusion of new talent. And especially considering how many people are nearing retirement age, there's a gap there. Do you think there's a problem with the perception of COBOL in the mainframe among students, or do you think it's just a matter of raising awareness?
I mean, it's not a problem of perception. It's a problem of visibility. They don't know it exists. They don't know what it is, right? This has been my experience at five schools. When I explain, I'm about facts and not hype. When I explain to the students who are all technically, inclined, what this technology is, it being mainframe, what mainframe is and what it does and how important it is, I have never had a problem piquing their interest. Never had a problem. They said, well, just nobody told us about it. Nobody explained to us how important this stuff was, how all of us use it on a day-to-day basis.
Right. So how do you think we can get more students interested in it?
Well, that's going to be a challenge, Matt. And I tell you, I think the I'm not going to say the only hope, but the best hope is probably community colleges. And I'll explain to you why. A lot of people don't understand kind of the culture of higher education. The tenure track really is an impediment to students being exposed to new things, okay? Because unless that new thing has the interest of a newly minted professor, the older professors aren't going to do anything different. They're going to do what they've always done, right? Because it's worked for them. You know, whether they're studying cloud computing or quantum, whatever they're studying, whatever their research is, they're going to keep doing that. They're not going to change that. But because mainframe has not been in the college curriculum, there have not been, as far as I know, any PhDs written on mainframe related topics. So those newly minted professors are going to come in teaching the things that the departments are going to have them teaching the thing that they know about, right? That they know about. They're not going to say, look, we want you to teach mainframe. That's just not going to happen. Right. So I think the best chance is at the community college level and just explain to the departments that, look, this is something, because the community colleges are very job oriented. I'm teaching at community college now, Mitchell Community College in Statesville, North Carolina. And they're very job oriented. They're focused on jobs. So I don't teach mainframe there yet because this is my first semester there. But I'm pretty sure I will down the road somewhere because they want anything that's going to help their students. Right. It's sad to say. And I think East Carolina is kind of the exception to that. But it's sad to say, for the most part, students getting jobs are not the highest priority of universities. And it's not for any nefarious reason. It's because they just assume if you're NC State, they're going to assume if they put an NC State degree in your hand, you're going to be able to get a job, which is true.
Right.
So they don't. Jobs are like a non thing for them. Now, the HBCUs, a lot of them are struggling. My former school, NCANT, does an excellent job in placing students. Excellent job. But a lot of them don't because the departments are poorly funded. The faculty, they're not the highest end faculty. They don't stay current. They don't get in contact with industry to see what skills are needed. So their students struggle. This is ideal for them. But I've not been very successful in convincing them.
All right. Now, do you think that the green screen environment or difficulties with COBOL as kind of an older language, do you think those play a role at all in students becoming interested once once they are made aware?
So I have a lot of colleagues that feel that that's the case. And I'm not going to say that's not the case generally, but all I can do is share my experiences. I have not had any problems with the existing interfaces, right? As a matter of fact, when I've tried to introduce the newer interfaces, the students have pushed back and said, look, we want you to teach us that other thing, meaning ISPF, that other people don't know, right? Because we can learn how to use a GUI. We know how to use a GUI. So right. I'm not saying that's not true. I have several colleagues of yours that take that position, and I can't disagree with them. All I can do is say that that has not been my experience. And I've taught this at 5 schools to several hundred students. So that's never been a problem. Now, I'm not saying those environments should not be taught, but particularly the VS Studio interface is very attractive and very user-friendly. But the problem is the reason I don't teach it is because I teach what the hiring managers, not the HR departments, not the PR departments, but the hiring managers say that they need the students to know coming in, and they need them to know ISPF and TSO. That's what they need them to know. So that's not been a problem.
So what are some of the ways you've worked to increase awareness of the mainframe as a career opportunity? Back in June, you had the Coffee with Chris O'Malley and Dr. Say event with right. CompuWare CEO Chris O'Malley. What other ways have you worked to increase awareness?
I mean, that is my mission, Matt. That is my mission, to increase awareness of this among college students. Because I can tell you what industry has done. Industry has pretty much given up on trying to convince schools to teach this. They've given up on it. Just my opinion from what I see. That doesn't mean that they've given up on younger people or newer people. But they are taking kind of non-curricular approaches. So I can tell you what's hot right now is this apprenticeship model that I was a part of helping to develop with IBM. Several companies are using it to onboard mainframe talent. And the degree is kind of a non-issue there. Right. It's not going to hurt you, but it's not a requirement. And they just identify people, you know, with raw talent and motivation, and they just train them how to use this stuff. And that is the role that they're using. But here's the thing. That the companies are finding, there are things that you pick up in college, in the span of a college experience, in terms of professionalism, in terms of a broader body of knowledge that aren't specific to that skill set per se, but are important for your success in a corporate environment that you just don't get at a college. So you either have to bring that to the scenario, or if you don't bring it to there, the apprenticeship programs are not designed to give you that. Whereas college is. Our program at A&T, we were very, very, very successful because from day one, we started building the professional decorum of the students. That was our focus because we wanted them to get jobs. And we knew there was more to it than just that. Could you write Java or could you write Python? Much more to it than that. Can you work in teams? Do you understand how projects are worked collaboratively? Do you understand that? Do you write well? Can you communicate verbally? You know, those kind of things that you don't get in an apprenticeship program. You've got to bring that to the scenario, and either you do or you don't. But the program is not going to give you that, whereas college will.
Are there any classes or experience in college with, say, Agile or with DevOps or with trying to get students ready for that or teach them about it?
I'm not seeing it. We have an excellent software development track at Mitchell. And they have a decent, good computer science department at East Carolina. In general, the colleges don't teach actual development. They teach coding. They teach you how to the syntax, the structure of language. So, and I asked my students, I said, are they talking about any of this? Because you may have seen some of my posts. I really want to incorporate DevOps concepts from day one and programming from day one. You know, I've not done that previously, but I want to try to find out how to do it. And I think that's important, but I'm not seeing that as part of the curriculum. I'm just not seeing it. I'm not saying it's not there, but I'm not seeing it.
All right. So IBM sponsors the Master of the Mainframe contest, and it includes a learning system that anybody can use. And there's also a contest with prizes for students. Do you have any involvement with the program or any students who participate?
Quite a bit. It used to be part of it used to be 25% of my grade. Now, it's not that way at East Carolina. You know, the focus is different at East Carolina. But if that was 25% of your grade, completing Master Mainframe Part 2. Master Mainframe is excellent. It's excellent material. It's excellent content. It's excellent learning, right? And I know several of the people who provide the technical content for that. Paul Newton, Josh Pennington, Benetton, IBM folks do great work. Great work. From a tactical standpoint, it's excellent. Here's the kind of the cultural social problem with mastering the mainframe. Because students, and I've tried to discuss this with IBM for a number of years. Anything, most of the students I work with at public university, they have to work. You know, they're not independent. They have to work jobs between 20, at least 24 to 40 hours a week. Now, if you've got a full course load and you're working 20 to 40 hours a week, you don't have a lot of time to apply to something like Master the Mainframe that's not moving you towards your degree, right? So that's why I included it in my class, because that was part of the curriculum, right? And we were very successful at that. I mean, a couple of years we were among the top people with part two finishers, not at the top, but among the top, because there's a school in California that just has insane numbers. I think they're making them up, but they're not. I met the people. They're not cooking the books. Their numbers are off the charts. So they have literally hundreds of people every year sign up for it. But we had some good numbers, but it's not part of the curriculum. So you only are going to get students who don't have to work, meaning more affluent students who have the time to put to it, to do well on it, because it is challenging. Right? It is challenging. So there's that, but there's no criticism of Master Mainframe per se. I think there's just a lot of cultural things that industry is not looking at as hard as they should. Now, lately they've been looking at more of these cultural issues, trying to get more diversity. And to me, diversity has always been a non-issue. If you teach this stuff to people, they're going to be able to do it. The schools I taught were like 95% African-American or more, you know, 90% African-American or better. And we had no problem getting placement, no problem in the mainframe space, no problem. So it's never, placement is never a problem. It's the exposure and the opportunity.
All right. So at East Carolina University, what role do COBOL and the mainframe play in the curriculum there? What kind of courses are there or certificates or?
We have two COBOL courses and an intro and an advanced, intermediate advanced, and they're full. It was full. We had 30 students this semester. I taught it one semester. Joel Sweat, my colleague at Joel Sweat, always like to acknowledge him because he's the reason that mainframe is at East Carolina. He gets I don't see his name appear anywhere, and he's been teaching this since 2012. So our numbers are good. And my classes right now, my spring class is full. I've got like five people in the overflow section. So we may have two. Last spring, we had two full sections. We taught 116 students mainframe last semester. 116.
That's great.
Yeah.
So the 2020.
Last year. I want to be correct about my data.
Last year. Okay. Spring. So the 2020 BMC mainframe survey shows that the gender gap on the mainframe is narrowing. The proportion of female respondents jumped to 40%, which is a 10% increase over last year's survey. And there have been a lot of women in tech initiatives, movements to increase female participation in STEM subjects. Are you seeing an increase in female interest in IT courses in general at the university level?
Yeah, definitely am. At A&T, the computer science department was 40% female. My department was like 15%, but that's, you know, it's for some quirky reasons, but I do see the participation. I usually don't have high numbers of females, women in my classes, but the ones I have usually end up going in the mainframe, and they usually end up doing well. So yeah, I have several female students that are now like senior systems programmers, not senior, but systems pro. You know, systems programming is a stretch. I mean, it's like becoming a cardiac surgeon or something. It takes years of preparation, but they're in it and they do the job. And every time I see a female in my class, a woman in my class, I'm pretty sure that she's going to do well, because there's something about that lady, that woman, that allows her not to be intimidated by being surrounded by men.
Right.
Now, our classes being online may help. I can't say that. I don't have any data to back that up. But that may be a help. But I know at A&T, I always had four or five women in my class, and they always did well. But they weren't intimidated at all. Because this is a technology for people that are not easily intimidated. Because it is intimidating technology. It'll scare you.
Right. What kind of feedback do you get from your students who have gone on to mainframe careers?
They love it. They love it. I'm doing a series of video interviews with my students, former students, now just explain, letting them say in their own words, you know, what this thing has meant to them, what mainframe has meant to them. And they just love it. Now, I would say this is informal. This is ad hoc. About half of them eventually end up going to other technologies. But and sometimes they come back, sometimes they don't. But that time in mainframe is invaluable to their career and irreplaceable. Right. Because if you're good in mainframe, you can be good in anything else.
Do you work with other universities, with other schools on awareness programs? Is there any kind of effort amongst, you know, different schools to kind of raise the awareness of the mainframe?
Yeah, there is. I'm having a boot camp in January at Tennessee State University. It's another HBCU. And we've had several successful boot camps there. Week-long boot camp, just to get them exposed to the technology. I'm working with North Carolina A&T, of course, they still teach mainframe. What I've been trying to do is get a consortium of HBCUs to teach like a standardized set of classes. So we can have one course, but multiple students from multiple universities can take that course at the same time. I've done that successfully in the past with two schools. And if you do two, you can do five. I mean, it doesn't make any difference, but it works. That model works, but have just not been able to get them to do it. I mean, I'm a little perturbed that they don't kind of understand the value of this.
Right. And I've actually heard that from other professors too, that, you know, frustration that the administration and schools in general just aren't really interested in teaching it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the thing is, I can understand why NC State doesn't do it or Georgia Tech doesn't do it. I can understand that. But, you know, some of the smaller HBCUs that really, really need a competitive advantage, this is it. It's tailor-made for them, right? And have not been able to get them to do it. It could be that they're intimidated because their faculty don't have the expertise, but they don't need the expertise. I've got an inventory of credentialed people that are ready to teach this online and want to teach it. You know, want to teach it. Yeah. So it's not the fact that they don't have the expertise. It's just an unwillingness because it's out of their comfort level or something. I need to do a paper on that, actually, on why they're not doing, why they don't want to do this.
Right. Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have any final words?
Well, yeah, I do in that. I just want industry to not give up on the colleges and, you know, buy our textbook when it comes out because it's going to be excellent. It should be out sometime next fall, and it's going to be a primer just for people who don't know anything about this technology but want to teach it step by step. And understand, industry needs to understand that mainframe is invisible on the college campuses. I keep saying that over and over. Mainframe, the college students do not know about this technology. When they learn about it, they love it.
And I've also heard that from other professors too, that once students get involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you again for taking the time to join us and discuss these important issues.
Thanks for speaking with me, Matt. I don't like to miss, I never miss an opportunity to discuss mainframe because it's very important technology, and I enjoy working with it. I've had a great career working with it.
And it sounds like you're doing a lot to get other people into careers. So that's good.
Yeah. All I can. And I want to thank CompuWare and Chris O'Malley. Chris, the way Chris articulates the beauty of this technology and the importance of it is very important. I wish there were more people like him. There aren't. There's only one Chris O'Malley, but right. He's a good friend of mine. I respect him immensely. And what he's doing does make a difference. It is making a difference.
Well, that's great to hear. I know he'll be happy to hear that as well. So thank you again, Dr. Say, for joining us, and thank you to our listeners. If you'd like to hear more episodes of the Modern Mainframe, visit soundcloud.com/modernmainframe or find us in your favorite podcast app. So until next time, take care. The BMC Amy Z Talk and CompuWare Modern Mainframe podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion, soundcloud.com/modernmainframe. CompuWare is now BMC CompuWare, providing a complete app dev toolkit which enables you to make the mainframe as adaptive as any other platform and start your journey to becoming an autonomous digital enterprise with a mainframe-inclusive DevOps toolchain.